Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Yes, it's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk. And we are joined by White House correspondent for the Washington Times, Jeff Mordock. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for Thank you for having me. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year indeed. And Jeff, on Friday, we talked about the preview of this meeting. And yesterday, the president met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. How did the meeting go, and what did we learn, if anything?
Well, I think the meeting went well. They clearly got along. They clearly seemed like the relationship has evolved. Excuse me. My throat's a little sore today. It seems as if the relationship has evolved from that disastrous Oval Office meeting they had in February, which deteriorated into a shouting match. This meeting yesterday made it very clear that they feel that they're close on a deal for a peace deal for Ukraine. But there's a lot of issues that still need to remain. The president tried to download that by describing them as one or two thorny issues. But reality is they're much bigger than that, because for any peace agreement, you need to have Russian President Vladimir Putin agree to it. And he's given no indication whatsoever that he plans to agree with it, to agree to it.
And if Putin doesn't agree to it, I mean, we're kind of still playing this back and forth. Has the president announced and made any statements of, you know, what more America will do if Putin continues to tread water on this?
Well, no, he hasn't. And that's kind of the interesting part, is there's not much we can really do to force Russia to come to the table. And Russia's given no indication. I mean, they had a very deadly drone attack on Kiev over the weekend. They had they've shown no sign that they're slowing down. And Putin won't even talk to Zelensky because he views him as illegitimate. So when you have the two sides not talking, that also does not bode well for either side in coming to an end to this war.
So all eyes still on what, if anything, will come between this conflict between Ukraine and Russia. And today you just witnessed the meeting with Trump and Netanyahu. Anything interesting come from that discussion?
The most interesting part of that discussion was President Trump threatening Iran with very powerful consequences if Iran starts to restock its missile arsenal or rebuild its nuclear program following the U.S. strikes this summer. But what's interesting is the president would say, "I've heard Iran is working to rebuild. From everything I've read, it looks like they're starting to rebuild," but then kept underscoring that this is also unconfirmed. And then he said, but Iran may be behaving badly, and where there's smoke, there's fire. But he did not offer any more specifics. So he seemed to be downplaying it, but also possibly hinting at Iran doing something else that may be concerning. It was interesting, though, that he did not want to go into specifics, but kind of kept hinting that there's something that was going to require the U.S.'s attention.
So fair to say the president will not let that be rebuilt. That is a deal breaker, and we'll be back on that if they dare, right?
That's exactly right. In fact, the president used the podium today alongside Prime Minister Netanyahu to encourage Iran to come to the table and start negotiating and try to come up with, and try to work this out before it goes to the military action that he's threatening. And he made it clear. He made it very clear, because Iran is both rebuilding its missile stock that was destroyed in the Israeli attack, as well as its nuclear capabilities, that we destroyed back in June. And what I thought was kind of interesting is the president really made a point to delineate between the two threats, saying, well, if they're just rebuilding their missile stock, we will do something. If they're trying to revive their nuclear program, we're going to do something immediately. And he really made sure that it was clear that the rebuilding the nuclear program was the bigger priority.
And then we also learned that the president's getting the Israel prize. Netanyahu made that announcement.
That's correct. And it really highlights how close these two men are, even though there was a hint at some disagreement today. The two are incredibly close. And yes, the Israel Prize for Peace is the highest civilian honor Israel can award. And it is the first time in Israel's history that they've awarded it to a non-Israeli citizen.
So, yeah, that's great news. I mean, that's the kind of recognition the president wants. And let's be honest, he's probably not going to get it from the Nobel Peace Prize people. So I'm glad to see other countries and other people rewarding him and pointing out the, you know, what he's done in just 1 year when it comes to peace.
And it's really interesting because you've seen that from Netanyahu time and time again. I mean, one of the requirements to be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize is to have your nomination by a world leader. Netanyahu has nominated President Trump repeatedly for the Nobel Peace Prize and really pushing. I think his, if they can end the Ukraine war, if they can come up with a peace agreement and they can advance the Israeli Hamas settlement, or excuse me, peace plan to the second phase, I do feel as if the president has a even stronger case going back, going into the next year. We'll see if the liberal bias of the Nobel Prize Committee dismisses that. But if he gets those two things done, it's almost going to be hard to deny him the award.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff, has the president made any comments on the Minnesota fraud that we heard Kristi Noem talk about? Has the president said anything on this?
He has not. It's interesting. The last 2 days, he's been focused squarely on Israel and Ukraine. The only time he's really moved on from those comments in the last 2 days was to talk about his criticism of Jerome Powell and repeat how much he does not like Jerome Powell and that they're considering a lawsuit against Jerome Powell for mismanagement for the cost overruns of building the new Fed headquarters.
So very interesting. I'm guessing in the next few days he'll have to comment on this because this Minnesota fraud thing, now we're learning that one of the daycare centers has been closed, that Minnesota, you know, admitted that it's closed. I would imagine this is probably going to be one of the early things he talks about in 2026.
I would have to think so. Scott Bessent is opening up an investigation into this, and he's the one leading the investigation. So at some point, we will get some kind of result from that investigation. But also, what's interesting is we're now starting to see that this fraud case is seeping into Ohio, and you know, there's been some allegations, unproven yet, but still allegations that similar types of fraud has been committed in Ohio.
And as we go through the blue state of Minnesota, I want to, you know, my home state here of New York. I talked about this with Brad Young earlier in the hour. The case for the green light law was dismissed. I have to imagine that the administration is going to appeal that and try to put a stop to New York State giving illegals driver's license.
100%. And I think that'll be one of the top priorities that we see from the administration has once the calendar turns to 2026 and he gets back into office. I know from what I've heard from the White House, the three big things coming out in the first week are going to be more ways to sort of crack down on how sanctuary cities are helping immigrants. That could be on the table. Also getting his nomination for the Fed Reserve chairman out there. And also he was supposed to do it here in Mar-a-Lago, but does not look like that's happening. have the insurance companies come in. The insurance companies have sort of held out on his most favored nation price plan for prescription drugs to come down and try to get them on board with his plan. We haven't seen that yet, but that is also another big priority when the new year, once the clock hits midnight on January 1st.
Well, I'm hoping, Jeff, maybe you or someone can get a question to the president and point out that the governor of New York, when she was the Erie County clerk about two decades ago, when Elliot Spitzer wanted to give license to what they call undocumented people, Kathy Hochul, Erie County clerk, said, "There's no way I will do that." How has her plan changed so much now to where she's the one advocating for it? I'd love to get the president's thoughts on that. And it just shows, in my opinion, it just shows the Democrat Party, if Trump says it, they will find any reason to go against it.
Oh, that, yes. And the president has called them out on that repeatedly. But yes, and that's one of the problems. I think we talked about this last time I was on, Joe. We talked about how the Democratic approval rating is so poor. And it goes back to what they stand for is whatever is being against whatever Trump stands for. They don't really stand for anything beyond they just don't like Trump. And I think that's really, voters are recognizing that.
Yeah, tough platform to be, hey, if Trump's for it, we're against it. You know, eventually Trump will not be the president. There will be a day where he is termed out and your platform's still going to be all against Trump. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's much long vision in that attempt or in that strategy.
Well, not only that, but rule one of politics is you want to give voters something to vote for, not something to vote against. And all they're offering is vote for us because we'll be against Trump, rather than offer what they will do if they return to power. I mean, you listen to them talk about if they return to power in the midterms and everything is an investigation into Trump or impeachment into Trump. There's no real plan to tackle affordability, even though they talk about it incessantly. It's all these investigations they're going to launch into the president.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to wait and see, Jeff. And I know we'll be talking about it again in 2026. Hope you have a very happy new year. And it's been a pleasure talking with you throughout 2025.
You too, Doug. I look forward to talking with you in the new year. Happy new year to you.
That is Jeff Mordock. He is the White House correspondent for the Washington Times, covering the president at Mar-a-Lago. Again, the president had a meeting with President Zelensky yesterday and Prime Minister Netanyahu today. It's been a busy day for President Trump. And I believe he's now on his way back to the White House, or will be. And that Minnesota fraud thing, I'm telling you, that is something that you know, a week or so ago wasn't getting much attention. And now, I mean, it's still not getting much attention from the networks, but you are seeing much. And this YouTuber went out there and has really exposed it. And like I said, in the last hour, we heard from one of the departments in Minnesota that the Quality Learning Center, yes, they spelled learning wrong, had been closed. And we're starting to get more from the federal look into this. So one big mess. And of course, Tim Walz at the center of it. We'll keep our eye on that one final segment, which will bring you the cut of the day after this. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com. Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.